many weeks ago, but we looked into the Word of God and we saw Jesus' love for the children when he said, "Suffer or allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Tonight we're going to see his love for the praise of the young and how that we can learn from children to praise the Lord the way that we ought to. Matthew 21, verse 14 through 16. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll read the text tonight. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne again, I pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on Jesus tonight. There's so many distractions in our own hearts and minds, distractions that come into the room, distractions that are all around us, Lord, and we desperately need to see Jesus tonight. We need to hear from you. We need your Spirit to work in our lives, and I pray that as we open your Word tonight, that your Spirit would move. Lord, help me to present your truth according to the power of your Spirit. Forgive my sin and cleanse me, Lord, and use me tonight. I pray you'll work in hearts, that those among us, those who hear this message, who have never been born again, that tonight would be the night they would trust in you as their Savior. I pray for the saved, that we would be living for you, that we would be loving you, we'd be walking with you and praising you with our very lives. Please help, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea. Have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise?" After cleansing the temple, and I personally believe this is a separate day, Jesus came into Bethany, looked out over the city, and he would go into the city, and then he would come back to Bethany. He would go into the city the next day to the temple. He would come back to Bethany. He would go back into the city again to the temple. And I believe this was probably the third day that he had gone into the city consecutive days. And after he had cleansed the temple, after he had thrown out the money changers, he went back to Bethany and came back in another day. You can study out those details as you wish. But as he was there in the temple, the blind and the lame came to Jesus. They came to Jesus in the temple. When Jesus got rid of the money changers, when he got rid of those who were making the house of God a den of thieves, when it became a house of prayer again, people came to Jesus there. You see? When Jesus got rid of the filth, he came there and cleaned the place up. They came to Jesus, and when they came to Jesus, they found healing there. They were looking for Messiah. They were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. They came to him, and he healed them. Now, I just want you to get this for a second. These were people who could not see, and Jesus made them able to see. These are people who could not walk. So someone had to carry them there. These are people who maybe could walk somewhat. They had to walk with a crutch or some other device to help them, but they found Jesus in the temple and he healed them. How glorious would that be? How glorious would it be if Jesus came right here to Calvary and he came right up here up front and we could go over to the hospital and we could just unload the hospital and we could unload the nursing home and we could just bring them right in here to find Jesus and be healed. Wouldn't that be glorious? And imagine that the children were there. Maybe something like we had the children up here. The children were there and they were seeing people healed. And the children were crying out praises to God. And they were glorifying Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. So I just get this in your mind. We don't know exactly who it was, but normally children have parents. I know, that's deep theology. But generally speaking, children have parents. So I just wonder if maybe some young man led his father in who could not see, and he brought his papa up to Jesus, and Jesus healed his daddy, and that little boy looked at his daddy who could see now, and he said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." I wonder if there weren't some young men and maybe some young women who helped to carry their own mother into the temple and brought their mother who couldn't walk, and they brought her to Jesus, and Jesus healed her. And they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And people are being healed, and the children are praising his name. And I want you to see it when in the next verse, when the scribes and chief priests and the Pharisees, look, it says they saw the wonderful things that he did. They saw blind people being given their sight. They saw lame people being made to walk again. And they saw it and they recognized it for wonderful things. And then they heard the children crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." When they saw what Jesus did, when they heard the praises of the children, they were sore displeased. I don't know about you, friends, but that just gives me a little bit of a sick feeling right here. In this area right here, it makes me ill that people could see the great things that God is doing and they're displeased by them. It's not really a whole lot different today. You know, there's a whole world out there, and we talked about this a little while ago with some of the men, but there's a whole world out there that as long as we kind of keep our Christianity to ourselves, they're okay with us. Stay inside your church building. Stay inside your home. Stay off of social media. Don't get out there in the public arena. Don't come to my house. Don't talk about Jesus at work. Don't talk about Jesus at school. Don't bring religion into anything outside of your walls. Keep it inside your walls, and we'll be just fine with you. But when we get out there and we begin to tell people about Jesus, and lost people begin to repent of their sins and be saved, when people begin to be changed and transformed by the gospel, and somebody who was a drunkard, who they become sober and they become a better man because of it, and they live a right life, people don't get that and they don't like it. When somebody whose life has been given to adultery or fornication or homosexuality, and they hear the gospel and they believe the gospel and they are saved and their lives are transformed, and they begin to speak out against their wicked lifestyle they used to live, and they begin to speak the truth of the Word of God, people don't like that. And they're no different than those religious people of that day. And I'm just telling you, we ought to rejoice with the children. I love it. They're upset, so being the good Pharisees that they are, being the good religious monitors of the day that they are, they come to Jesus and they say, "Did you hear what those children are saying?" I'm glad that there's still some people around today that are available to point out what everybody else is doing wrong. It's really helpful. Problem is, what they're doing wasn't wrong. By the way, next time you get your knickers in a twist, you might want to verify that what you're upset about is actually wrong. Might want to just make sure that you got some Bible to stand on and it's not just your personal preference. Have you ever been upset about something and thought something was one way and you opened your mouth to express your displeasure only to figure out you were wrong about mid-sentence? Have you ever had words falling out of your mouth that you wish you could reel back in? Hey, Brother Ben, God bless you. I got a story I'd like to tell about Brother Ben, but I'm not going to. You can ask him. He'll tell you later. He told me the other day that somebody said something in response. He said something that he wished he hadn't have said. And he said, "My mind was telling my mouth to stop, but the words kept falling out." You've been there, right? The problem is these scribes and Pharisees, these chief priests, they didn't have any kind of filter. They didn't have any kind of thing to hold them back. They thought they were always right. And they go to the Lord of glory, who is performing miracles in front of their eyes. They saw the wondrous things that he was doing. They didn't even deny it. Who can do those things unless God sent him, unless God was with him? How could they deny the miracles? How could they deny the works that he did? They couldn't. So they should have known who he was, and they saw it with their very eyes, and they heard the praise, and they said, do you hear what these say? And Jesus says to them, yeah. We would pronounce it yay, but the Lord just says, yes. I love it. I think there's some great deep meaning here. You know, Jesus hears those who praise him. And he always has. I remember years ago going to music camp, and Brother Robert Parrott was there, and I learned so much from him about worship and praising God. And one of the great truths that he shared with us at camp one time was from 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. It says, It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. And when God's people came together with one spirit, with one mind, to one sound, to praise God, God moved. The Spirit of God moved in a visible way, in a physical way, in a manifested way that the priest couldn't even stand up to minister. The praise was so incredible. The sacrifices had been given. The worship was all together. The sound lifted up to heaven and glorified God so much that the Spirit of God came down to that place and everybody just had to sit down and see the glory of God move in that place. Boy, I tell you, I long to be in the presence of God's Spirit in that way. I've had little tastes. I've been there at moments when God's Spirit moved in the praises of his people. I mentioned that music camp. We went there for several years, and it was one of those times when there were God's people were all there for the same purpose. Everybody came together, and we saw people saved at music camp, to be sure, but there was a focus there on praising the Lord, on worshiping him. And man, I'm telling you, we had some amazing times of worship. And not just the main service where everybody had practiced and played and learned to play their instruments, but just times when we would get together and we hiked up to the crosses there at Cedar Hills and looking out over and singing together and praising God. And the Spirit of God would move in those times. I just want to admonish you tonight. Don't be the reason the Spirit of God doesn't move in this place. Hey, when it's time to worship, that's not the time to be digging through your purse, ladies. When it's time to worship, it's not the time to be scrolling through your phone, fellas. It's not the time to be thinking about what you got to do tomorrow. It's not the time to be worrying about the troubles of today. It's not the time to be daydreaming about some nonsense. It's the time to worship the God of heaven. It's the time in your heart to say, Hosanna to the Son of David. It's the time to thank him and praise him and lift up his holy name and stop with all the distractions and stop with all the nonsense. What are we doing? When we come together and we have such an opportunity, we could worship him in unity. We could have one heart and one voice and one soul and one spirit to lift up praise to Jesus. And we can't if you're distracted by nonsense. There was this praise, and God hears the praises of his people. Do you hear what they're saying? Yes, he hears. He hears the praises of those children, and yes, he hears what they're saying, and yes, he hears you when you praise him. Psalm 118, Psalm 118, verse 18. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord for his mercy, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 21 said, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. And the chief priests and scribes would say, do you hear what these children are saying, Jesus of Nazareth? And he says, yes, I hear them. And you know what? If you cry out to the Lord in praise, if you cry out to him in a heart of repentance and faith, he will hear you as well. What an incredible thing. It's an amazing thing that you and I can be heard by God. It's gotten a lot easier for us as human beings to communicate with each other. There was a time when it was difficult just to make a phone call. Some of you might even remember a time when there weren't phones. Remember the first time you got a phone? Some of you grew up in the days of Andy Griffith. You got to dial into the switchboard. Call Sarah. That was her name, Sarah, right? And then some of you moved up to a time where you had to dial on the rotary phone. We talked about that the other day. And if you ever messed up, oh. But it was satisfying to slam that phone down. Wham! Do something with that thing. I remember when cell phones first came out. Before that, we had pagers. You get a page, and then you had to find a phone. Now they have, you can't even find the relics of payphones anymore. I remember for years, you'd still see the old payphone sitting there, and there's not even hardly, the skeletons aren't around anymore. And then we had cell phones, and I remember the first time my dad got a cell phone, it was attached to his truck. The ringer was tied into the horn. And so he'd be on a job, and when somebody would call him, the horn would start honking. He had to go out and answer the phone. I had a bag phone one time. Anybody remember those? With a detachable magnetic antenna. It's like Barney Fife sticking that thing on top. Thunk. Today, I can pull my phone out of my pocket, and I can call anybody in the world. I can video chat. I can FaceTime with somebody on the other side of the planet. It's amazing. It's amazing how connected we are. We have a hard time talking to people like people in my house talk to me and I don't hear them. I talk to people in my house and they don't hear me. Sometimes I stand up here and talk to you and you don't listen. Seemed like a good time for an amen. I have no idea what he said, but stick one in there. But when we praise Jesus, he hears. How stupid are we to not cry out to God? You know, there's people all over the world crying out to their false gods. Daniel writes about it in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 23. Daniel 5:23 says, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Belteshazzar was a fool to defile the things, the sacred things of God's worship, but he was an even bigger fool to praise gods who couldn't hear him. Well, he didn't glorify the God who gave him his very breath, the one who allowed him to take another step, the one who gave him all of his ways, he didn't glorify. He was a fool. And if we don't glorify Jesus, we're acting foolish as well. Have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. There was a conference at a church one time, and it was a very reserved church. They didn't like it when people in their church would say things like hallelujah or praise the Lord. You know, somebody get excited and say, praise the Lord. All the people would cut their eyes at them and somebody go talk to them after the service. We don't do that here. You ever heard of a church like that? Ever been part of a church like that? They didn't want to have people shouting out hallelujah or praise the Lord. So they gave every member a helium balloon. And they said, if you ever get a feeling that you want to shout hallelujah or praise the Lord or express the joy you feel in your heart, let your balloon go. And it'll go up to the ceiling and we'll all see that you are grateful and you're praising the Lord. Balloon go. At the end of the service, a third of the balloons were still in people's hands. I just wonder. From the time you walked into the building tonight, if you'd have had a balloon, I wonder if you'd still be holding on to it at this point of the service. Never once in your heart were you grateful to Jesus. Never once in your heart did you feel like saying praise the Lord or hallelujah. Never once in your heart did you feel gratitude and praise in your soul that you wanted to express. By the way, that's what praise is. Praise is the outward expression. Praise is when you let it out. You have joy and gladness in your soul and you open your mouth and you let it out. You express it in some way and it may be a tear running down your cheek or it may be singing out in a song or it may be saying amen or something, but it's just an outward expression of the joy that's in your heart. Letting go of a helium balloon. There ought to be joy, friends. There ought to be joy. We'll get to Psalm 8 in just a second, but I want to share something with you that C.S. Lewis said. He said, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. If it were possible for a created soul fully to appreciate, that is to love and delight in, the worthiest object of all, and simultaneously, at every moment, to give this delight perfect expression, then that soul would be in supreme blessedness. To praise God fully, we must suppose ourselves to be in perfect love with God, drowned in, dissolved by that delight which, far from remaining pent up within ourselves, as incommunicable bliss, flows out from us incessantly again in effortless and perfect expression. Our joy is no more separable from the praise in which it liberates and utters itself than the brightness of a mirror receives is separable from the brightness it sheds. Now listen, if you've ever read any C.S. Lewis and you're like me, you've got to read it a lot of times to understand what the man just said. But let me just try to summarize. We delight to praise what we enjoy, he said, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. In other words, with each other. If someone does something kind for you and you really enjoy it, it's not full enjoyment until you say thank you. If someone gives you a piece of cake and you enjoy the piece of cake, you don't have full enjoyment of the piece of cake until you say thank you for the piece of cake. That didn't, okay. If someone gives you a cookie, what is it going to take to get you people tonight? I just don't know. Listen, if someone does something kind for you and you're grateful and you enjoy it and it's wonderful, it's not fully expressed, it's not fully experienced until you are grateful and you say so. It's like the idiot husband who said, I told my wife I loved her the day we got married. If anything changes, I'll let her know. That's idiotic. You've got to express that love. And the same thing's true with praise. Listen, mirrors don't make light, they reflect light. Okay, and that's the idea. You can't separate joy from praise. You say, well, I have joy in my soul. Well, if it's in your soul, then it's got to come out. If it doesn't come out, then it's not real joy. That's what he's saying, and I believe that's absolutely true. Some of us grew up being so scared of some groups that have swung the pendulum over here with some bad doctrine, and they get a little overexcited, and it's very emotional, and it's very... seems to be sometimes very built up, and it's not moved to the Spirit. And so we're scared of being associated with that kind of thing. So we've swung the pendulum way over here. And what we want you to do is sit on your hands, and you can say amen if you say it with the right tone and not too loud. But don't say praise the Lord or hallelujah or get too excited, and make sure you don't raise your hands above your shoulders. And if you do anything more than tap your foot, you're dancing, and that's sin. And if you're tapping your foot in a certain way, you might be sinning then. But can I just say that we don't have to abandon joy and praising God and expressions of praise. We don't have to abandon that. We don't have to abandon that to avoid false doctrine. You ought to be happy in Jesus, and if you're happy in Jesus, people around you ought to know it. I want you to think just for a second of the bravery of these children. You think that the chief priests, the scribes, you don't think that those were intimidating men? You don't think that they had the power to knock those kids in the middle of next week? Listen, if they wanted to, they could make some false accusation and have those kids stoned to death. But they saw the wonderful works of Jesus too. And instead of being sore displeased, they were filled with joy and praised him. Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If you go back to verse 2, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. And we know without question, Jesus says that what's happening here with the children praising him in the temple is fulfillment of this prophecy, this psalm, pointed to that moment in time. And the psalmist, when he writes about it centuries before, says that when this comes to pass, when these babes and sucklings ordain strength, when they perfect praise, when they bring praise to full maturity, that's what it means to perfect. When they bring it to maturity, when they strengthen this, it's done because of his enemies. Who were his enemies in the temple that day? The very ones who should have known him first. The very ones who should have known him best. The very ones who should have been encouraging the praise of the Messiah, not discouraging. Who ought to be the ones today strengthening praise? Who ought to be the ones bringing praise to maturity? Who ought to be the ones lifting up the name of Jesus, encouraging the praise of Jesus, helping the world to lift up the name of Jesus? Who ought to be the ones? If not us, then who? If we claim that we have the truth, that we know the truth, then we are responsible for what we do with that truth. And we'll be held accountable for what we do with that truth. There was a man, older Christian man, who loved to sing praises to the Lord. He found out that he had cancer of the tongue and he was going to have surgery. The surgeon told him that he would never be able to sing again. And just before the surgery, he said, "Are you sure I'll never be able to sing again?" And the surgeon just shook his head no. He said, "Well, can I sit up for a moment? I've had many good times singing the praises of God. And now you tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And there, before he went to surgery that would take away his ability to sing, he sang, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall ne'er be past. While life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." We ought to be men and women who love him, who rejoice in who he is and what he's done. And we ought not be ashamed to praise him while we can. Let's stand together. If you know him, you'll praise him. If you don't know him yet, I hope you will tonight. I hope you'll repent and trust in the Savior. I hope you'll call on his name to be saved even tonight. And if you are saved, I pray you'll never be ashamed. Never be ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. How about 559?